because I'm back in sunny old England, I have with me a sausage roll on a plate.
Nice.
Drinking a gin and coke.
Nice.
And I have some hot honey Jaffa cakes here in front of me.
The fuck is a Jaffa cake?
Fantastic. And I also have a now, unfortunately, empty can of Vimto.
Oh, you have told me about Vimto before.
Yeah. I love a Jaffa cake. And Jaffa cake is a, I hate the chair I'm sitting on so bad I might have an aneurysm about it. So we'll be lucky if we finish this episode.
Good. Okay.
So, little cake, little bit of chocolate. And then on the inside of the chocolate is a little orange jelly.
Oh, ew. Okay.
Oh, why did you sound so excited?
I sounded so excited because when you pulled it apart, it looked like it was either like peanut butter or caramel or something good. And then you said the worst thing in the world.
Jelly. No, you're wrong in American. It's better.
God. Robin's been in the UK for like 48 hours and has gone full national pride about it.
Yeah, I wasn't like this before. Don't worry about it.
Never in our time as friends.
That's so crazy. I have called you and the whole house disgusting Yanks a couple of times.
Disgusting Yanks, sure. But you've called me an American specifically more times than you ever have in the last couple of days. And I...
in the more times in the last couple of days. I've done it once and it was on recording not 1 minute ago.
We weren't recording. That was off recording.
When did I tell you... when did I call you an American?
Twice tonight. Twice during this very conversation.
That's insane. Did not know that.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't know that.
Yeah.
Apparently I am. Hey.
Yeah.
God bless our queen. A god. No, king. Fuck.
A real patriot.
Yeah, a real patriot, me. That's why I live here.
Yeah.
Also, look what this microphone can do. See it?
Okay, I'm looking.
That's it. I can just hold it. I can just hold it like this. And it feels really good to do.
Okay.
I like it a lot. Okay. I feel like I'm a stand-up guy.
Oh,
I feel like
yeah.
I'm a stand-up
guy.
Give me
your type five. Give me your type five. Go.
Hey, winter's around. Hey, it's the solstice. Anyone seen this?
Oh my god. What? Try again. Type five. Go.
No, this is it. This is my type. This is my type five.
Go.
You interrupted it by laughing. It's now only a type four. So yeah, the nights. You guys notice it's getting darker earlier now? Sometimes I wake up and it's already dark. And then people laugh and then you do the laughing. The type five, it's only five, it's 5 minutes including laughs.
Okay.
So like I'm gonna need you to have like laughing.
Sure.
Yeah. So when I was a teenager, I watched one stand-up special one time. And I went downstairs to my mom and I said, I think I'd like to try to be a stand-up. Bearing in mind I was like 14. And my mom said, oh no way, tell us a joke. And that killed any desire to want to do stand up as a job.
Yeah.
Dylan is currently doing the exact same thing to me.
I am?
So that's fun. Yeah.
I was laughing.
You're like enacting my nightmare. That's true. You were laughing, but you did say perform for me.
Yeah.
And you know how I struggle doing that.
Yeah. You want to play Quiplash for this episode? I think why we.
Hey, gang. This is a fun joke Dylan's doing. I fucking hate being funny on command. I hate Quiplash so fucking bad. Hey, gang, if you've been listening to Dorkspawn for a while, and if someone came up to you and said, oh, what's that podcast about the video game? You're like, who's the funny one of the two of them? Everyone every time will say, well, Dylan, because Robin just kind of chokes constantly.
That's not true remotely. You're hilarious. You're the funniest one out of both of us. You are the funny one. You just don't
grow
like being funny
up.
On command. It's different.
No. Grow
You're
up.
You're conversationally hilarious.
I'm conversationally fine. I'm really good at setting someone up. But you're the one who dunks it.
And yet I remain single, Robin. What is happening?
You're single because you're the funny one. I'm the endearing, charming one.
Oh, yeah. You look like Carrie Ewells, so you're playing on fucking easy.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Why do you think I moved? Do you know how easy it is to be charming with this accent? I suck over here. No one in the UK likes me.
It's just like Love Actually.
It is literally. They made a joke of it. It's kind of true. The scale tips deeply in favor of anyone with an accent.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true.
Yeah, it is true.
You think I should take up an accent? Do you think I should...
I think to remain true and pure and true to your heart, you need to go more New York.
I need to let my New York out more.
You need to really go into it. Because you have a, you know what's so interesting? I know that saying this, you're going to be like, no, I have a New York accent. I don't know what that sounds like, unless it's like the deep, thick one. You have a very like, literally, American accent.
I have a very, very slight New York accent most of the time. And that's fully a childhood thing. It will show up and I can summon her. I talk with a very generic non-regional New York accent.
Yeah, and I just think that's a shame. I think you should lean into it. I think that'll be hot.
Yeah, but you know what? It's anybody on the street talks to me, and then all of a sudden my voice changes.
That is true. But that's the I feel like I have a similar thing. You've heard me speak to my dad.
Yes. Oh, yes. Yours comes way out. Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And it's crazy because I don't know if I know that you know this, but I don't know if listeners know this. Because I had a really bad stutter when I was a kid. And fun fact, if you hear any of the raw recordings of any AP we make, you can hear it. You can hear it fairly. If I get nervous, when you get nervous, a little bit. It immediately starts swinging at me.
Yeah.
But I went to speech therapy when I was a kid. And because I grew up in Southeast London, they just knocked that accent. The proper Cockney accent that I was like getting was fully being out of me. And now I have a far more broad, people have called it a BBC accent. I don't super agree with that, but.
Oh, I disagree. I very much
with
disagree.
Me or with them.
No, with them. You don't have a BBC accent.
Yeah.
No, that doesn't.
I also
sense.
Don't think so, but, it is more, it's more middle upper, slightly posher accent than the people around me. Specifically, my sister. If you hear my sister, she has a real Southeast London accent.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I don't.
Yeah.
Weird little. And also, people keep saying, "Oh, where are you from? Is it Australia?" Every time.
That's crazy.
Every time someone asks me,
don't sound Australian.
I know this, and I'm gonna tell you, I am not. Being remotely sarcastic when I say, I get it. I'm going to say every 2 weeks, I get someone saying, are you from Australia? I got it the other day. I had a work meeting with a new employee and they were like, oh, where's your accent from? Is that Australian? It's like, no, it's English, dumbass.
No.
When I worked public facing, I worked in the antique store constantly, all the time.
Yeah.
Unless they were from the UK, they always thought I was Australian.
Deeply weird.
Deeply
that's
weird.
Such a
and
strong
on a,
specific accent.
I know. And on a weird twist, Depth, our Australian friend, who was my housemate for a while, when they moved to Toronto.
Oh, yeah. A bunch of people don't know that they're Australian, don't pick up
and
on them
they
being
think
Australian.
That they're British.
Mm-hmm.
And I got Australian and they get British.
I have
think
seen that
so
happen
weird.
Multiple times. Yeah.
Yeah. It's weird. I couldn't tell you why.
Yeah.
It's weird.
Well, they also have a speech therapy history, which I think like has a tendency to kind of shrink your accent a little bit.
Oh, fascinating.
Yeah, I think they have a similar thing.
Feels cruel. There's definitely something nefarious in the fact that doing speech therapy knocks out accents.
Yeah, I agree.
Has to be something. Yeah.
I agree. And so we should shut it down. No more speech therapy.
No more speech therapy. You got to stutter?
No more.
Just learn how to edit. That's what I do.
You got to.
No one can hear it anymore.
Stop it. Aphasia? Too bad.
Look yourself in the mirror. Put your finger against the glass. Look at yourself and say, stop it.
Stop.
Stop it.
Yeah. We'll dismantle it. That'll solve everything.
That'll solve it. That's true.
Mm-hmm.
That's true and real. Good. What are we doing here?
This. we're.
No, it's fine. It's the Christmas episode where we're just vamping for an hour.
Where we're just hanging out. Happy holidays, everybody.
Do you know
we're
what I do want to do?
Vibing. What?
Back to the cold open. Rewind. Do you know what I do want to do?
What?
So I have. You know the video game list that I've played. I keep a list of every video game that I've played this year, and it's very expansive. And what I wanted to do, and we were talking about this the other day, kind of want to make a TikTok series where I'm like, these are all the games I played, and I'm just going to talk about them. Do a very, very quick review. And you were like, oh, we could do it together. I was like, that could be fun. And then I was thinking about how that could work, and I was like, Joe, might be weird. This is a video game book club. We could have a Patreon episode where I just go through the list of games that I've played and I give 1 to 2 line of review and we just shoot the shit and talk about it. We have drinks and we talk about every game I've played this year.
Yeah,
a really
we could
weird
do that.
End of year, like end
recap.
Of year recap. Yeah.
Yeah, I would actually love that.
Because a lot of it, it's like the Veil Guard. We played Trespasser at the top of this year.
That's true. Right. That would have been the very first thing.
This time last year, we were doing Jaws of Hakon.
Yep.
Then I flew back to you.
Yep.
Then we started Trespasser. And then we immediately went on to the Veil Guard after that.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And then post the Veil Guard, we did Mass Effect 1. Well, the Mass Effect Trilogy. And we've just finished the Mass Effect Trilogy and now we're into Fallout. Which I think is fun.
And then,
in between I played a billion games.
You played a lot of video games. I have a few in between that I played. But it's a smaller list, admittedly.
Yeah, but you have a TTRPG list that you've played a lot of.
I have a crazy TTRPG
you're
list.
More of a,
yeah,
you're more
is,
of
oh
a
my God.
Physical
Yeah. No, that list thing. Is wicked. I have so many that I could talk about. Yeah.
Yeah. But when we get you a Steam Deck, then I'm just gonna be giving you games.
Actually,
I'm gonna be like,
you know
play
what?
This, play
but
this,
when
play
we
this.
End this recording, make me order it. Make me just do it. I gotta just.
Okay,
do it.
I'll send you some money for it as well.
Okay.
I think it'll be fun. Yeah. Because literally in the past, because I was like, okay, it's getting to the end of the year, and I have a lot of games that I bought but I haven't played. This back end, this like past 2 weeks, I've played and completed, I think, 4 or 5 games just because they're indie, like 2 to 3 hour, like really weird, like experimental stuff. It's best shit ever. God, I love this medium. This medium is just the best medium ever. It's so weird. Some of
it really
is like,
is good.
And there's the thing is that some of it is like, oh, this doesn't really work. Or like, it's like a little slow and my brain is made of bumblebees, so it's hard for me to concentrate. But some games, because I was just on a plane, being a fucking hero on the flight home from Toronto.
Oh, yeah. You were so fucking cool.
The coolest guy
this
in the fucking world.
This guy saved everyone from a massively delayed flight.
I did. And that's a story for another time.
Closes fucking... book.
That'll be told in the sequel to this episode.
But we'll talk about that next Christmas.
Hey, gang, you have to keep us honest. I am not allowed to talk about this story until this time next year.
So when you hear us start talking about it on the podcast, go back in time and tell us to stop recording.
It's going
to
be the 21st of December, 2026. The episode is going to open with, okay, so what happened is, and then I'm just going to tell the story of what happened this time last year.
Oh my God. Okay.
Yeah.
Good.
Played a game called Arctic Eggs, which is a game where you just cook eggs in the Arctic. That's the whole game. And it is fucking awesome. It's so stupid good. It's like post-apocalypse. You're in this weird cyberpunk city in Antarctica, I think. And you tried to escape the city, so they removed every one of your cybernetic functions except for your ability to walk and your ability to cook eggs. And you go out and you have to feed everyone on the ship, and it is a very dark opening, so funny the whole way through. It's like such a good comedy game. Really weird controls. Every small character interaction is so charming. It's an absolute blast. It's really good. It's very short. It's only like 2 hours long, but man, it fucked. Anyway, awesome. Speaking of video games, what are we doing here?
Hello, my name is Dylan, and I've never played Fallout before. Certainly never played Fallout New Vegas. I'm shaking it
I
up.
Don't know why I decided to take a bite of my food. My name's Robin. I have played Fallout New Vegas a bunch of times. Dylan, continue to talk about your thoughts and feelings for this week.
You're listening to Dorkspawn, which is a podcast where me and my best friend have a private conversation that does not involve you. And then... And then we talk about a video game in the style of a book club, chapter by chapter. We've done Dragon Age, we've done Mass Effect, and now we are doing Fallout New Vegas. At the last episode, I can tell you that I had not yet gotten Boone to be my companion. So that was the first thing I did afterwards because we talked about it and I figured that out. So I went and figured out. So with Boone, it was, he tells you, you told me a little bit, but you didn't spoil it for me, which I think I appreciate because he did tell you that like somebody killed his wife and he wanted you to figure out who it was and bring them out in front of the dinosaur so he could snipe them. And all of that. And so you're trying to figure it out. Talking to people gives you fuck all. I talked to everybody in that town. Doesn't not give you anything. I went all.
And they're all like, yeah, it sucks, right? And that's like basically it. Yeah.
Went all over this place. And then I found a ledger in behind the desk of the hotel.
In a safe in the. Yeah.
Behind the desk, Jenny May. In a safe. Yeah, that's her name. And she sold her?
Yeah. Sold her to the Legion and sold her unborn baby for extra caps.
Yes.
Yeah, so she was pregnant with Boone's kid and sold the pair of them because she literally didn't like her. And that's it. That's the only reason why she did
it.
Is that she thought she was rude.
So I brought her round back. No problem.
Yep.
Had no problem with that. Ace was not conflicted at all. Felt pretty good, actually. So now Boone is
she's
following
evil.
With me.
She's evil. Even my evil character was like, yeah, I'm fucking
That's
evil.
That's too much, actually.
Yeah, it's an evil woman.
So it was easy decision to bring her around back, have her get iced. And then now Boone follows me around, which is great.
We like him. First companion. Companions in this game are interesting because they follow you around. They just do whatever. They have like Dragon Age 2 style hard political opinions, which I'm an absolute sucker for. But eventually, when you do enough things that they like, they will sometimes, there'll be like a blank like to that in like the top left corner. But eventually, then they'll start being like, so here's more about me. And they'll start telling you more about them and their personal lives. And then every companion does also have a personal mission as well, eventually.
Yeah. And Boone, if I'm not mistaken, does hate the Legion.
Hates the Legion.
So I feel
used to
pretty
be an NCR
good about
sniper,
what
yeah.
I'm up to right now.
Okay.
So that happened. Other thing, though, I went back to Prim. And fixed up that little robot. Because I got plenty of scraps and supplies and things.
Oh,
cute. I did that. And apparently, they can both follow me.
So, there are...
What's up with that?
You can only have one companion at the time. But Edie, and there is a dog companion, they don't take up a slot. So you can have the Edie or the dog and another companion. Any other one companion.
Whoa.
Mm.
That's killer.
So it's really cool. So you basically get two companions. It just depends on which one you want. And Edie and the dog are both really cool.
Yeah, Edie's pretty cool really. So far. First thing, though, that I did after that was I went to the Repcon facility to investigate the ghouls.
Okay, tell me about it. How did you feel about this mission?
Oh, loved this mission.
Yeah?
Oh, cool. My God, I love this mission. So, okay. So, interesting stuff. You get into the facility, or like when you're getting there, there are rabid ghouls. Is that what they're called? Feral ghouls?
Feral ghouls.
So there's feral ghouls outside that just attack you, and you gotta just take them out. And there's a bunch. And then you get in, and inside the facility, there are other ghouls who are normal.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Which is interesting.
It is. So Repcon, just for some lore-wise, Repcon is the one of the few, like, gas stations. You'll come across a lot of Repcon gas stations around. But this Repcon testing facility is where they were testing, like space travel. They were trying to learn how to fly into space. But yes, you find all these ghouls. When you walk in, there are feral ghouls, normal ghouls, and a variant of super mutant called the Nightkin, who are battling each other. You don't actually see any of them on this. Well, you could, I guess, come across them on this first little level.
Yeah, at first you just see bodies of the Nightkin at first. Bodies of ghouls, bodies of Nightkin. There's a voice on an intercom that's like, hey, you know, get on up here or whatever. We get on up and we're told to talk to Jason Bright, who is the coolest guy in the fucking world.
He's a glowing ghoul.
Glowing ghoul. Cool ass guy. And he tells us basically, and correct me if I'm wrong about this, but basically, like, this used to be a safe haven for ghouls, but then the Nightkin showed up and like made it unsafe for ghouls to be like to be here, and so now they've all kind of gone out into the wasteland and they go feral out there. So it's so, like they're some. My understanding was that like the ghouls had a place to sort of stay, not maybe not stay safe, but like also to like live out their lives peacefully, and then if they go feral, then they have a safe place to die. But like getting pushed out of this facility, they all go feral, and then it creates this like
kind of like that, right? So this guy Jason is part of the followers of the Bright. He's Jason Bright. And he has made a little cult. A cult of people who are trying to get to the great beyond, or make the great journey, I think it is.
Yes.
So they all come here with the express intention of making this journey. They did have this little facility be a bit of a safe haven whilst they figure out how to really kickstart this great journey. And then the Night King moved in, and then a bunch of ghouls like ran away, or were like, we've actually been here for too long, I'm going to leave. And it is just kind of, it's one of these fun, sad things about ghouls that they do just occasionally. We don't actually touch on it at all until the TV show, of just like some ghouls are feral ghouls that just are feral, can't be spoken to, and then others are just regular people but who are ghoulified. And the TV show, which, you know, this is, you know, you can take or leave if this was lore at the minute, because we don't actually know. The TV show says that ghouls need, not necessarily rad away, but they do need drugs constantly to like not go feral, like a constant supply of them. In other games, I think it is just like occasionally a ghoul will go feral.
So he tells you, if we can clear out the basement of these Nightkin, then, you know, he'll be happy to help us. And also it would make the wasteland safer because all the ghouls can come back here or whatever. So I'm like, okay, let me go check out this fucking basement.
Oh, also, oh my God, what? Really quick. Yeah. So the guy who we speak to, Chris Haversome, who speaks to us, is the ghoul that we speak to when we first walk into the facility. Is like, hey, smooth skin, come on up, come find us. But, you know, all our ghouls are hiding up there. When you go up to all the followers of the Bright, you meet this guy.
He's just a guy.
He's just a guy. He's a guy who believes so heavily that he is a ghoul.
That he is a ghoul.
Yeah.
And we learn later why, and it's very funny. But he really won't talk to me. I don't know if it's different, but he really won't talk to me. He keeps deferring me to Jason and is just like, do what Jason says, and then, you know, and then maybe we'll chat.
Yeah.
So go down into the basement looking for these Nightkin. You see one at least right away, and it's like they're like kind of invisible at first. You see, like, it's cool. And they're big and scary. and I kill that one because it instantly attacks me. And then I keep walking and I'm exploring down and I'm not finding any others. I'm seeing some dead bodies of them. But I finally get to a room that's locked and I pick that lock because I got my lock pick up and I'm having a great fucking time because I love lock picking in Bethesda games. So I pick the lock, I get in there, and there's this ghoul that's holding the line in there. Alone with a shotgun on a ledge, and is like, I locked myself in here, I'm holding the line, I'm fucking terrified. And is like, you gotta take them all out. I'm not leaving from this spot. I'm defended here. So so good luck. Hopefully see you later. Also tells you that, like, I have a friend that went missing. She ran like further into the basement. So if you find her, you know, help me out.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, let me go do that. But then I take another door and there's a fucking Nightkin in there.
Nightkin.
Who does not attack me. And he's like talking to a skull, a little like deer. I think it's like a deer skull. It's got antlers or whatever. But he's talking to it like it's a god, and is like, what do you want me to do? He's like, you want me to talk to him? Yeah, I'll talk to him. and decides to give me a little bit of a chance, explains to me what's going on, which is that, okay, let me see if I get this part right. So, or if I remember this part right. But basically, they were here because they were told that a drop was going to be here. A drop of, oh my God, what was it? Stealth boys were being dropped here and they needed to get them. And they've come here. They're not leaving without them. And that's in
the,
oh, what?
The, the drop of Stealth Boys is pre-war. It was so long ago that this drop happened. These Nightkin are just on the lookout for them. They just are searching for as many Stealth Boys as they can pick up.
Yes.
Yeah.
And he tells you that the drop was supposed to be in that previous room where that ghoul is. So I go back there searching for it. I get blown up eight times maybe by grenades and exploding computer. I'm just getting fucking blown to smithereens. I'm completely crippled. I'm walking around an inch at a time in this facility because I'm fucking out of doctor kits. And I am just hobbling my way around. It takes me 25 minutes to climb up the stairs, find the computer, and find the logs about these fucking drops. I had to say that they got canceled. It was supposed to drop here, but then it got canceled and rerouted. So it's not here. So I go back to him, and I tell him that. He argues with the deer skull for a bit about whether or not to trust me, and then decides to believe me. I tell them where it was supposed to go next. And then the Nightkin just leave.
Yeah.
They just head out on their own. And then my guy leaves. My friend leaves because there's no more Nightkin. So he's just like, oh, okay. Well, all right.
Mm-hmm.
So
did you find his friend?
Okay. No.
Oh, fun. Wow. I actually didn't know you could do that without finding his friend. That's really cool.
Because the quest to find his friend disappeared once that happened and he left that spot. So I think once they leave, there's no more reason for them to stay down there. So I assume they just sort of left. So then I can leave. So I go back up to Jason and he's like, okay, amazing. We're going to go back down there to our hideaway. You're welcome to come and visit us.
Yeah.
And then he walks away and I'm like, well, I'm going to go visit you, right?
Yeah, I'm just going to follow you.
I'm going to follow you. follow him to the basement. And that's where Jason Bright really explains to me about this whole rocket situation. We're going to go find, you know, our
new world.
Our new world on these rockets. And then tells me, like, sorry to say, though, Chris can't come with us because he's not a ghoul and he will die.
It's not like, he's not a ghoul, he's not invited. It's the sheer amount of
he would die.
Nuclear waste radiation that's there will kill him instantly. And we like him too much for that to happen. We don't want it to happen.
In fact, a little emotional about it, but we go talk to Chris and I go talk to Chris and I'm like, so what's up, you know, with this whole rocket situation? And he's like, oh, whatever. They told me I should talk to you. And he's just the grumpiest man in the world.
Yeah, he's really pissed off.
And he's like, well, we can't do it anyway because we need all this shit to fix the rockets. And I was like, well, I'll fucking fix the rockets for you. This is a game. So I go get like the thrusters and then I go get the other thing, whatever it is.
Yeah.
The two. Fuel. I go bring it back to Chris. And then I'm like, Chris, you're a human man. And he's like, I'm not a human man. I'm a ghoul. I'm bald. And I was like, oh, man. Okay. Yeah, I mean, some people are bald. That doesn't make you a ghoul. You're a human, living, breathing man. You can't stand all that radiation. And then I stop pressing on it because he gets pissed off. But then I'm like, all right, well, you know what? Sure. And Jason's like, okay, we're going to do this. And then as they are getting ready to, I really was afraid Chris was going to try to kill me when this happened, because they tell him via the launch announcement.
Yeah.
Like that he can't come. But it's also with this like beautiful dedication to him and like that like they like owe everything to him, etc. And then he just sort of walks out and I do feel bad. But because he walks out, I've got to launch the damn rockets. So then I go up to the launch pad, launch the rockets, fully expect those rockets to explode in midair, but they do seem to take off.
One of them crashes, but the others do make it, yeah. They launch off into...
Oh, does one crash?
One, I think, blows up in, like, as launching. It, like... Oh, I might be wrong. I'm pretty sure I'm remembering that correctly. One sputters out of the air, but the other two launch.
They seemed to both launch.
Oh, hey, who knows?
Interesting.
Hey, listen. Yeah. Hey, maybe I'm wrong.
Because I watched that scene twice because I had a save error. So I had to redo that scene twice.
Hey, listen. You might very much be right.
Yeah. But whatever. I mean, you know what? Maybe I am wrong. But from what I saw, they take off successfully and my karma goes way up and I get a notice that my kindness, rumors of my kindness has spread.
Your good-hearted nature.
My good-hearted nature. So, okay, before I move on to what I did next, talk to me. I feel like what happened for you here, I feel like it must be different.
So.
Hello, my name is Sam Dunnewald, and I'm here to tell you about Dice Exploder, a podcast where each week me and a rotating co-host take one tabletop RPG mechanic, just one mechanic, and break it down as deep as we possibly can. If you love thinking about role-playing games and how they work, this is the show for you. Come listen to me talk to Alex Roberts about love and pity, John Harper about elegance and layout, and Mikey Ham about, what else? Exploding dice! It's an interview show, a review show, a design show, and most of all, a show for anyone who loves these games. Come on down and join us. Find Dice Exploder at DiceExploder.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
I went to the Repcon facility. I am putting all of Jake's abilities into non-combat things or sneak. He's sneaky guy.
Okay.
He's picking off these ghouls on top of a mountain. Boone is helping him. We sneak into the facility. The guy's like, hey, come up. We go up and we're like, hey. And we're being very non-committal about it. To the point where when Jason is like, oh, hey, could you do this? Jake is like, no, do it yourself. I don't want any part of this. And then out of universe, I was like, I don't think I can complete the mission unless I do it. Fine. I'll say yes. But on a non-committal, like, yeah, I'll get around to it if I get around to it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I go into the basement with a nightkin. I'm sneaking round. I get jumped by a nightkin in the basement. This is important. I get jumped by a nightkin in the basement. Shoot and kill this nightkin. I get jumped by another nightkin. I shoot and kill that nightkin. As I'm wandering around, I walk into a side room. The guy, the leader of the nightkin, doesn't talk to me because I've killed too many nightkin. And he immediately starts swinging on me because he's like, you're the one that's been killing all of my guys. Grabs his giant rebar club and then guns it for me. So then I have to shoot and kill him. With that, I walk into the side room. I see the ghoul and he's like, yeah, I mean, they're still here. I was like, yeah, I killed the leader. It's like, yeah, but they're still here. I'm not leaving without seeing my friend. I'm like, oh, fuck. So I go into the basement. I find his friend. His friend is dead. Put in jail by the Nightkin and has died. I go back up. I tell him and he's like, oh, for fuck's sake, fine. I'm finding all these stealth boys, and even through this, I'm finding these stealth boys. This story of why, like, the Nightkin's passive dialogue are, I can't find any stealth boys. Have you found any to another Nightkin? And they're saying no. I go to a computer. I read that there's a shipment missing. I still kind of piece together this story of the fact that these Nightkin came here for this reason.
Yeah.
And now, you know, and now it's the shipment's gone. I'm like, okay, fuck. But I get the ghoul to go upstairs. And then because I've ended up executing all the Nightkin, I walk back up to Jason. Yeah, I mean, it's free now, I guess. I accidentally did it. And he's like, oh, praise you. Thank you so much. We walk downstairs. Hey, can you tell Chris that we're not ghouls? No, I don't care. I don't care that he's not a ghoul. This has nothing to do with me. This is your deal.
That's like, okay. Your problem. Yeah, sure.
He walks in. He does this announcement. Chris turns to me. What were you two talking about? Oh, you're not a ghoul, by the way. I have really high speech. I convince him. Chris is like, oh. So they lied to me and they used me this whole time? What the fuck? And I was like, yeah. And then now they want me to fix up the ship. Oh. Do you have any sugar bomb sweets on you? We can sabotage the engines of that ship and we can blow up the rockets as they leave. Yeah, fuck it. I have some on me.
Oh, my God. What?
We pour sugar bombs. We pour sugar bombs into the fuel cells. So as the rockets leave, we have the same cutscene, but one explodes in the chamber, knocking one of the other rockets that fires into the other rocket and all three of them explode. I get crazy negative karma. It rockets up. And then I'm like, wow, shit, that's fucking crazy. And then I leave. I leave the facility.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So that's the villain playthrough of what happens here, is you can sabotage the ships. You convince Chris that, yeah, they lied to you the whole time. Or, like, you're a human, and then he reacts really poorly, and you could be like, and then he's like...
I tried to convince him that he was a human, it just didn't work.
Yeah, you can convince him. If you have... Like, you can convince him and it still be kind.
Yeah.
But you just have to talk to him.
I did choose... Even though I didn't convince him afterwards, I did tell him, like, you know, like... Uh-oh. What happened?
Oh, I'm still here. What's up?
You're still here?
Yeah, what's up? You okay?
Oh, my computer acted like it was crashing, but it's fine. Seems fine. Okay.
Okay.
Weird. Sorry about that. Anyway, so
okay.
Oh my God. So yeah, after I tried to convince him he was human, didn't work. I think my speech wasn't high enough. But then afterwards, then I was like, well, they still like respected you. And he like accepted that.
Wow. Crazy.
He was pissed.
Oh, my God.
But
another thing. He was like, hey, we still need the fuel igniter agent and the like engine. The engine was easy. I went and I picked that up. But the ignition thing, he was like, well, I mean, we don't even need the fuel cells. If you have three of those stupid rocket toys, that would do. So I walked back to Novak. I walked inside of the shop and I spoke to the shopkeeper because I knew that the shopkeeper had the tiny the dino light dinosaurs.
Oh my God.
And
shut
a bunch
up.
Of the rockets in his back room because I robbed it last week.
Holy shit.
I like snuck around as he was asleep and I unlocked the door and you unlock the side room to tens of rocket ships of these rocket toys. And I walk in and I'm like, hey, can I have some rockets? And he was like, oh yeah, we don't really have a lot of the rocket ships. I'm like, I know you do. And also don't talk back to me because I killed Jenny May and, I will do the same to you unless you start giving me A, discounts and B, give me the things in that room. And he's like, okay, shit, that's crazy. I knew she died. I didn't realize that she was executed. I was like, yeah, give me the shit in the side room.
Wow.
So I have a crazy discount on that store. I bought a really nice gun, like a sniper. And then I took a bunch of the rockets. I didn't even use real fuel cells. I just gave him rocket toys. So then Chris used the rocket toys and then poured a bunch of sugar cereal in the igniting agent so they'd all blow up. It's crazy.
Holy shit, that's
playing
incredible.
This game as a villain is
wild.
It's wild. And I when I did it, Boone had a passive comment of like, I don't know if we should have done this. like, <"Yeah.">
Oh, shout out to Boone. I mean, he's taken all my kills is the thing.
Hey, listen, and he gives you that passive perk of he highlights every enemy.
Yeah.
If you aim in. Oh, which you may not know unless you're doing ranged.
I have done it once or twice because I am trying to still use the gun.
Sure.
A little bit so I don't, like, totally ignore it. I'm trying it out, but I am mostly using the machete.
But it's cool. Yeah, the companions are really capable in this game. Like, they do.
Yeah.
They're not just, like, you know, normal companions where they don't really do a lot. Like, they
don't
soak up damage and they deliver it. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then afterwards I upped and walked away. I left. I walked past Novak and on to Well, I went to, I actually walked all the way to the Hoover Dam. After
oh,
that.
Okay. I started doing Edie's quest first after this.
Oh my God, you found Edie's quest?
Yeah, so Edie wants to go to this junkyard that we've been to before because I think it's where one of the fuel components is.
Yes.
So one of the things that you actually get during the previous quest kind of unlocks that. So I went back there with Edie to bring her there, talk to the lady that works there. And then as the lady's talking, she's just answering random questions of mine. I get a notification. Edie has a new log triggered by a phrase.
Yeah.
So after I finish talking to this woman, I turn around and Edie starts playing a log recording for me. So like Edie doesn't seem to speak or have like
no,
any sort
Edie doesn't
of like
speak.
Personality.
Yeah.
But Edie is playing logs that are recorded. And now Edie, oh my God, wants to go where, like, I think the next step, I might need to re-listen to the recording because now that's been a hot minute
sure.
since I listened to it.
Yeah.
But I'm on that trail, now with Edie. That's as far as I got was unlocking that first log. And then I went, because I had spoken to Cass at the Mojave Outpost like a while ago.
Yes. Yeah.
And she was like, you should work for the Crimson Caravan. So I am now following that thread. I'm at
Fun.
Helios
cool.
1.
Big cool quest is Helios 1.
I went to Helios 1. They were like, you can't sit with us. And I was like, well, and I didn't want to lie, even though I had the speech to lie, but I don't think Ace is the type. So instead Ace was like, well, I thought there might be food here. Looked like a place that might have some supplies. And they were like, you're a fucking idiot. Do you know that? And I was like, okay, well, can I come in? And they're like, no, there's super secret science shit going on. Why should I let you in? And then I actually have my science up. So I was like, well, it actually looks like one of your satellites is broken or something like that. Like,
yeah,
you should
sure.
let me help. And they're like, well, we've got a scientist. He sucks. You should come in. And they let me in. And so now I'm actually like where I've left off is that I'm on my way to meet their shitty scientist to
cool.
finish up this quest. And then cool. so like right now, my two paths that I'm kind of simoing right now are this one with Helios 1 and Edie's following Edie's trail of logs.
Fun.
Is,
cool.
is what I'm on.
That's
yeah.
really cool. I like that. That's really fun. So, Ace did a really big, huge, very kind thing. Has done one very violent kind thing, and then one just like goodness. I mean, technically two, because you also freed the Nightkin. How do you think Ace's like journey is going? Is this like kind of like?
I think it's good. I think very fitting to someone in such an unkind world who is a kind person.
Yeah.
I imagine that Ace is, it has not yet clocked that they are neglecting their own problem.
Cool.
Like, they still have no idea anything remotely related to what happened to them, and they know there's a trail for that, but, like, they are just not because they are following everyone else's threads but their own.
Cool. I like it. That's really fun. Nice.
Yeah,
and
Helios 1. Yeah, how are you doing though?
So
talk to me.
I didn't go to Helios 1 post. I actually really avoided. I walked all the way to the Hoover Dam.
Right, you said that. Okay.
Met some people. I did some swimming because I didn't realize it was the Hoover Dam until I was like, there's a giant ravine here. I wonder what happens if I swim around in it. I was like, oh, this is Hoover Dam. Okay. I found an outpost called Camp Forlorn Hope, originally named Camp Hope, stationed by NCR members. NCR members who are so, so desperately upset that they renamed it Camp Forlorn Hope.
Whoa.
So these NCR rangers have been cut off almost entirely from supplies by the Legion on the other side of Hoover Dam. So this is kind of this is like a big part of the story is the battle for Hoover Dam. But this is just a place that I just happened to come across. I could go round and do missions for like try to like up the morale, because I was speaking to the morale officer and the morale officer was like, it's fucking dire, I don't know, I can't do anything here, we are low on food, we're low on ammo, the Legion just keep running at us, killing our men, we kill some of them, but then they kind of display it. They display the fact that both everyone's people are dying. They don't care that their own people are dying, and they have seemingly infinite numbers, and we only have a couple. Boone is very interested in this mission. He's a big NCR guy. And they asked me if I was interested in helping, and I said nope. I got a little negative thumbs down. I did, however, go back to the Mojave outpost. Oh, I was speaking to someone, and she was like, yeah, we should have a medical officer. And she was like, yeah, we should have way more supplies, but they're just not giving them to us. I don't know where our medical supplies are going. I remembered when I was walking toward Nipton, I came across Ranger Station Charlie, and I was speaking to him, and he's like, we keep getting medical supplies, and I don't fucking know why we keep getting medical supplies. And I was like, oh, shit. That's where all your medical supplies are going, is to Ranger Station Charlie. And I was like, I mean, I could go back and check, and I probably will for, you know, storyline's sake.
Sure.
I then, oh my God, I did something else as well. Talked to people at Forlorn Hope. I went back to the Mojave Outpost. Spoke to the Rose of Sharon Cassidy some more. And it was most of her dialogue options were like, go help the Crimson Caravan. I don't care about talking to you. But I did go and find someone and spread the word of the Legion's evil, which was a Legion mission that I had, which lowers the morale of the Mojave Outpost, because I'm like, oh, it's dark. It's dark. They had everyone strung up and Nipton is completely lost. And they were like, oh, shit. Okay. Well, so we're fucked then. We're completely fucked. And then fully, like, this one guy was like, I actually just might leave. If the Legion got this close, I don't think I want to be here anymore. And this guy's like a proper lieutenant. Like, he's, like, up in the ranks. And I was like, well, best of luck with that. And then I walked away. I've upped my lockpick. My sneak is really good now. I'm mainly sneaking around. I have this one, like, silenced pistol. I was threatening the shopkeepers to give me more. I'm now addicted to Mentats, which is the intelligence drug that ups your intelligence.
Oh, my God! Because, you're taking so many drugs!
Because alcohol and having alcohol, like everything alcohol-based, lowers your intelligence but ups everything else. But then Mentats ups your intelligence.
God.
So I was just popping pills. So I wasn't like, so I was remaining smart above the alcohol. And then I got addicted to Mentats. And I'm still not good enough at repair to fix up Edie, so I haven't done that yet. I faffed around a lot, but then I ended up attempting to walk to, I started not walking fully to New Vegas, but walking toward where the Crimson Caravan is, where the Rose of Sharon Cassidy told me to go. Cause I like her as a companion, and there's only so far you can get as a as like being very non-committal as I want my character to be. So I was like, yeah, I'll go check on the Crimson Caravan and see how that's going. Yeah, that's how my game is.
Oh my God.
So my guy's getting worse because he's...
Yeah, I would fucking say so.
Yeah, because being a coward just and then having authority just naturally emboldens the cowardice into evil. So he's getting more evil because he has any form of like power. As soon as he does that, he's like, okay, well then what is easiest for me to do? And the easiest thing to do is the evilest option. So he's like, okay, I'll just do that then, because that will get me more money. It'll make this done quicker. Everyone who doesn't like me is going to die in this experiment anyway, so I don't really care. I need money because my drug addiction is debilitating and very expensive. So
I'm
need as much as I
so
can get.
So fucking rich because I don't use guns.
So you just sell everything?
I sell all my fucking bullets. It's the same thing that I do in Skyrim, because arrows and bullets both have no weight. So you can just pick every single one up.
And then just sell all of them.
And then if you aren't really using them, you just sell them all. And that is game. And I'm having a great time doing it. Oh my God. First, can you remind me? I know you've told me probably 3 times, at least twice on recording, where that knife is that you told me you recommended me to get.
Oh, Chance's knife. So it's above Good Springs. It's north of Good Springs. Very, very, very like just beyond the hill line. So it's like,
got
it's
it.
Really close. It's very, very close.
All right. I bookmarked the page so that I don't forget to do that next time, because I am outgrowing the machete.
Chance's knife is really cool. It's super fast, which is fun. And again, it's related to a character in the backstory, which I think is fun.
That's cool. Yeah, it's cool. I liked this one. Minor thing, very minor thing. When I went back to Prim, I did talk to everybody briefly while I was there.
Oh yeah.
While I was repairing Edie, and everybody told me that things are going good.
Like, Prim Slim is doing a good job.
Prim Slim is doing a good job. People feel safe there. They don't feel like everything feels okay. I am tentatively optimistic, but yeah, so
that's
so
fun.
Far, town is good.
Hell yeah.
And then my question to you is, do you feel like what I did in this is like enough, or should I try to do like, should I be like aiming to do more stuff each time?
Because we don't have a really set schedule.
Yeah.
I was also kind of thinking this. I was thinking this myself, because this week, admittedly, we just did Repcom, which is a big mission. It includes like 3 or 4 different things in
it.
And it's like there's a lot to talk about. You're at Helios 1, also a very big mission, which is fun and neat. I finished the Repcom facility, and then I just kind of went a wandabout as long as I wasn't going into New Vegas. I think that because I have done so much of this game so many times, I think you can just play as, like, do at least one mission that you're like, that was chunky. That was a big thing that we can
Right.
Talk
okay.
about. And then just
okay.
and then just kind
cool.
of play to your heart's content.
Yeah.
And then because there will be, I mean, almost immediately, considering that we both did Repcon and then we both went in separate directions, there will now be missions that neither of us have done. But we can definitely talk about the things that you have, because
definitely
know it.
And
if we want... Oh, my God! Another thing I did. I stumbled across a main mission. The Great Khans that had been with Benny and shot me in the head, they had been cornered by the NCR in this one city.
Oh my God, yes.
And they had captured 2 NCR members, so no one was shooting. and my job was to go in and free the NCR members. So I snuck in, snuck around the back. I couldn't talk to any of the Great Khans. So I was like, okay, I guess that's fine, because I didn't see the leader of them. I unlocked the back door. I opened it up. I freed the NCR Rangers. I then sat back as in my mind, Boone gave the signal to all the other NCR members, who opened fire on all the Great Khans. The Great Khans shot and killed the hostages. As I waited behind a closed door for the shooting to stop, stood up, looted all the bodies, and was like, are we done? Are we good? And they were like, yeah, oh my God, I wish we could get him alive. I was like, yeah, dems the brakes though, innit? So you said that the guy who was here, where was he going? They're like, oh, we found this note that says New Vegas. God. Okay, sick. Thank you. And
I walked away. Okay. I have that quest open, but I don't think that I did that part of it. I'm supposed to intercept them at
Sick.
Boulder City, right? Is that like
I went to Boulder
City.
City
is the
yeah.
thing? Okay.
Yeah.
So I haven't done
cool
that yet, but
place,
I was
Boulder City as well. It's fun.
Okay.
Yeah, there's a lot to explore there, which I liked.
Okay.
So if you wanted, what we could do is next week we can just kind of do whatever, and then the week after, if you wanted, we could hit Vegas.
I think that's great. Yeah. I would love that. So like next time I'll keep doing what I want, and then the time after that is Vegas.
Do we wander around and then hit Vegas? Because okay. there's interesting things where it's like Helios 1, people are going to bring you back around to. Like big event quests like this, the main quest is going to be like, maybe you should check out this zone. And then you can circle back around to it. But I like us having like a few weeks where it's just kind of exploring, just kind of soaking in the world
too.
Before we hit Vegas. And then after that, we can hit Vegas and then talk about what we want to do there.
Yeah. Okay. Sick. Yeah.
Sick.
Awesome. Okay, great. Oh my God.
And as of recording, the Fallout Season 2 TV show is out. Episode 1 is the only one that's out at the minute, but they're in Novak for the episode. The episode takes place in Novak. Lucy, who's the protagonist of the TV show, is the sniper in Boone's nest, like crawls up to Boone's sniper nest and is like shooting people. It's cool.
That's very exciting.
It's just, we just did it and the episode. I haven't watched it yet. We had some people in our Discord be like, hey, do you know what'd be cool? As if you did like a talk along.
And
like
I was just about to ask you, this week, Tuesday, Friday, Saturday, what are your plans?
Nothing. I'm
Tuesday
free as
night,
beans.
You wanna stream Fallout?
Yeah, sure thing. So we haven't figured out the logistics yet, but we'll put it on Patreon.
We'll put it on Patreon.
It's either going to be, we'll probably stream it to each other, but we'll probably do we'll record our audio and then do a count in, I imagine we want to do for the people at home, for them to like 3, 2, 1,
we'll
click
count
start
in for
the
you
same
so that
time.
You could hit start at the same time as us. Yes.
Yeah. And then we'll just do a fun little commentary track for us watching the Fallout TV show together, which I'm very excited for. Dylan, you didn't finish the TV show?
I did. Yeah.
Oh, you did finish
Season
the
one?
TV show?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Sick. Yeah. She'll be crazy exciting.
I know. I'm excited.
Yeah.
Okay. Hell yeah.
Hell
Amazing.
Yeah. Thank you all so much for listening, gang. Hey, did you like this? Do you like Fallout? Listen to Fallout Kings of Mahat, which is the AP that we have on this very podcast stream. It's really good.
It is really good.
It's really good. That cast is truly insane. I was texting Dylan earlier because the episode that's going to be coming out next, Dylan has a moment that made me cry several times whilst editing it in public spaces.
And then Robin sent it to me and said nice things, and then I cried.
Yay!
Oh, friends.
Friendship. Amazing. Thank you, gang, so much. Appreciate you. However, bad news.
I hate to tell you this. The game
was rigged
from the start.
Yeah. R.I.P. in pieces.
Well...